Good morning. Our scripture reading is from Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 through 24. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him.
Has anyone ever written you a poem? Maybe somewhere back during the years on Valentine's Day. No, roses are red, violets are blue, sugar is sweet and so are you. Something like that. There are variations on that. The kind of Valentine's I got when I was a kid. You know, in school they used to share Valentine's every Valentine's Day. Sometimes they let you send whatever you wanted. I remember something like violets are blue, roses are pink. Put on your shoes, your feet really stink. Or roses are red, violets are blue, please don't kiss me because I have the flu, something like that. Maybe you got one of those typed back through the years. But great poetry like this always seems to be inspired by love, doesn't it? For example, the poem I came across entitled, Katie, Kiss Me. Katie, kiss me. Yuck. It's true. My face took on a greenish hue. My knees like jelly started shaking. Then my stomach started quaking. Slobber slithered down my cheek. My consciousness was growing weak. My ears were ringing. Head was spinning, but all the while Kate was grinning. My heart was pounding through my shirt. My tongue felt like I just ate dirt. Though you may think I've lost my brain, I wish she'd kiss me once again. Yes, love inspires great poetry, doesn't it? But seriously, great poetry is a special thing. It's a product of great thought. It's also usually a product of great emotion, a lot of hard work. You know, it's hard work to write even bad poetry. But good poetry, great poetry, is a product of a lifetime of hard work and a lot of talent. So, young ladies, if some young fella takes the time to write you a good poem and it doesn't say Hallmark down at the bottom of it somewhere, you ought to take a second look at that young guy. Poetry can be a powerful thing and a very meaningful thing. I want to look at a passage with you this morning from Ephesians chapter 2. And in that chapter, there, of course, is so much we can learn about God and ourselves. Opening verses of Ephesians 2 remind us of the situation we were once in. That we were dead in sin, that we were lost, we were on the wrong path, we were following Satan, we were fleshly, we were full of wrath. But all that was before God got a hold of us. And so in verse 4, you have this wonderful couple of words, but God. What an expression that is in Scripture. But God, God who was rich in mercy, God who loved us with a great love, even when we were dead in sin, made us alive in Christ. He showered us with love and kindness and grace and mercy. And Paul writes here in this chapter that we have been saved by that grace, verse 8. And that it's an incredible gift. But I really want us this morning to think about verse 10. It's really the verse for our lesson this morning, where Paul writes this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." This is a verse I want you to think about for a moment with me today. We are God's workmanship, Paul says here. He uses a cool word. It reminds me, actually, of my mother. I always thought it was sort of amusing how my mother pronounced the word poem. She would say poem. Anybody pronounce it that way? No Southerners here. I know a lot of Southerners pronounce it poem. And she'd say, that's a nice poem. And I'd laugh and ridicule her pronunciation. And then here I come to find out that she may have had it more right all along. The word that Paul uses, this translated workmanship, at least in the translation I'm reading, is from the Greek language poema. We derive our English word poem from this word. So it wouldn't be totally off base to translate this verse, for we are his poem. Did you know God was a poet? God writes poetry, and we are his poetry. The word poema referred to what a person made, or perhaps what a person did. And so in the language, it could refer to works of literature, like a poem. It had a touch of the idea of creation to it. There is a creative element in this. A poet creates, makes poetry. And that's so appropriate right here, isn't it? Because right in this verse, it talks about creation. We are his workmanship, poem, created in Christ Jesus for good works. It is easy for us as Christians. You know, time passes since we were saved, and we tend to lose our steam a little spiritually, and we forget the incredible thing that God did for us in Christ. It's nice that every Lord's Day, if we're in worship, we have this reminder that we just had of what God has done in Christ. The Lord's Supper, that's part of God's plan for us. But it can happen that we tend to forget about that rescue that we experienced from where we once were lost to being saved. And we tend to just go along and gradually forget how special we are in God's sight. You know, he not only created us physically, made us in his image, but he went to all the effort to recreate us spiritually in Jesus Christ. How much love did that take? He created us to begin with, and then he recreates us in Christ. How do you show someone that you love them? Do you think that you might be kind to them? Maybe be patient with them? You think you might, for someone you love, share gifts with them? That you might try, and if they're in trouble, rescue them. Of course, all those things. And more than that, of course. And that's really what these first 10 verses of Ephesians 2 tells us about our God. It tells us of his love for us. It tells us of his sacrifice for us. And the gift that he has given us. Tells us that we are his poem. His love poem, you might say. We are the thing that he has put all his emotion and creative energies into. He has worked on us, you see. We are his workmanship. And so don't ever think that you are insignificant, that you're not special in some way. The God of the universe wants to write a poem with your life. To him, you're worth dying for. Now, what kind of poem? What kind of poem is he writing with our life? Well, again, it's a creative poem. We have been created, it says, in Christ Jesus for good works. Created for good works. had a great teacher once that emphasized this idea. He would say it this way: we are saved to serve. We are not saved just to avoid hell. We are not saved just so we can go to heaven. We are saved to serve. We were rescued so we could do good works in the name of Jesus Christ. That would be imitating him. You know, it says in the Gospels, it says of Jesus that he spent his time going about doing good. And so we wear his name. We who wear his name will do the same. That's supposed to be us, going about doing good works. We are saved to serve. Imagine that you come across an apple tree one day, or at least what was an apple tree. You can see plainly that it's dead. You have a great idea. You say, I'm going to get some beautiful, red, delicious apples, buy them at the store, and I'm going to tie them to this apple tree, and then everything will be okay. Is that bright? Now, we know that's not going to work, of course. You see, fruit trees, think about this, fruit trees don't have life because they bear fruit. They bear fruit because they have life. You can't bring to life a dead tree by tying apples to it. But if you come across a tree that has red, delicious apples being produced by it, you know what? The tree's alive. It's healthy. And when you see that, you don't praise the tree. You praise the God who made the tree. Folks, we were created in Christ Jesus, as the text says, to do good works, to bear fruit. We are saved to serve, not saved by work, but saved for works. God wants to write a poem with your life, a poem that consists of good works. And it's just like Jesus who went about doing good. I want you to listen to something else the same inspired writer shared with us in another place, Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Listen to Paul's words there. He says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. You hear the idea there? It's God working in us. God is working in us to do good things. Now, there's another part to this. And it's really the last phrase in our verse, Ephesians 2, verse 10. Again, it says, for we are his workmanship. Might translate it a little more freely, poem. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And then the last part, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So, if you've been listening, and I hope you have been, you might think, okay, I'm supposed to do good works. But that's really pretty generic. What specifically am I to do? And that's a great question. It's a very practical question. Unfortunately, in the passage that we're focusing on today, Paul doesn't answer that question. And I can't answer it specifically for you either. But I think I can help guide you to the answer a little. See, the point is this. Do you realize that God has something for us, for you, for me, to do. He has something in mind for us to do, specific to us. As far as his good works are concerned, God has something in mind. It says, the text says, he prepared them beforehand. Before we were created in Christ Jesus, you see, God had something in mind for us to do. Before we were saved, God prepared in his mind something for us to do. So there is a good work, or more likely, a set of good works with your name on it that God has prepared for you to do. He did not intend for you to come to Christ and then just sort of be and sit until eternity came. He saved you to serve. So there is a good work in mind for you. Same for me, same for all of us. And so much of our spiritual lives are involved, I think, in seeking out and discovering those things that God has in mind for us to do. And really, if you think about it, that ought to be exciting to you. That there is something prepared for me. Not just heaven, that certainly is, but there's something God has prepared for me to do that's unique. And he's waiting for us to do it. He's counting on us to do it. Now, how do you find out those things that God has prepared for you to do? I think the Bible teaches us that there are a couple of things that will guide us to those good works. The ones that are specifically prepared for us to do. Number one is our talents or spiritual gifts. The New Testament teaches a lot about the importance of spiritual gifts. Those talents or abilities, gifts that God has given us in order to serve him. You know, your gift might be generosity, for instance. Or it might be leadership, or mercy, showing mercy, or teaching. And knowing where God has gifted you will help you discover what God has prepared for you to do. He does not leave his people without gifts. And he has prepared works for us to do. It might take some study. It might take some guidance, some trial and error sometimes, to figure out exactly what those works are, those gifts are that you've been given by the Lord. And that's part of spiritual growth, learning those things. So spiritual gifts, talents, are a big part of this. But there's another thing that guides us to what good works we should be doing, and that is the circumstances of our life and God's providence. See, God has put you here in this place, in this time, for a reason. God is a God of reason. You are at 36th Street for a reason. You might be at 36th Street because you have the gift of teaching. And you have an opportunity to teach. Might tell you what your good work should include. You might be here and have a gift of evangelizing. And that might guide you to help evangelize, or leadership, or any of those gifts that the church has given today that give us abilities to serve. That's one reason we have things like this little sheet that you may have been handed recently that looks like this. It says personal data form at the top. There's a front and back. Some of our guys are passing those out and asking you to fill those out. lists all kinds of different works and service areas a person can be involved in the church. Not exhaustive, but a lot of different things. You might look at that and discover something that you can do. We encourage you to fill those out, turn them back in. It's just a tool to help us do what we're talking about. See, God gives us gifts or talents, and then He puts us places, puts us in situations, certain times, certain places, where we can accomplish the works that He has prepared for us to do. And when we accomplish them, we have become the beautiful, powerful poem that He intended us to be. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And I hope that it's not just a challenge, but it's something that excites you about your spiritual walk, to seek out that thing God has prepared for you to do, and to do it. Today, we ask you to think here as we conclude about the full content of these 10 verses, how we can be lost and then we can be saved because of the work of Christ. How we were lost, but God stepped in and offered us rescue. If you've never responded to the gospel of Christ, never been baptized into Christ for forgiveness of sins, received the gift of the Holy Spirit, today that can happen for you. And that would be the start of this walk we're talking about. God can start writing a poem with your life. Maybe you've gotten off the path and you need to come back today, or ask for the prayers of the church about struggles or other things you're facing. And we would love to do that as well. If we can serve you today before we go, we offer this invitation of Jesus for you to think about and come while we stand, while we sing.